Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CacheFly.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 93, recorded on July 13th, 2010. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators. I'm Michael Johnston, and we're here to talk about the iPhone, the iPod Touch, the iPad, App Store, iTunes, all that fun stuff. And with me here, as always, is Mr. Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm great. We are doing the show, so I'm always great. Yeah. It's a party on the internet. And Jeff Gamet.
On your iPod.
What's that?
Is it a party on your iPod?
Mm-hmm. On your iPhone. And all that. Jeff Gamet's here. From the MacCast.
I am.
Or not the MacCast, from the Mac Observer. The world famous
Adam's
Mac
from
Observer.
MacCast. Yeah.
Is it world famous now? Has it gotten that far? On the internet? Universally actually, famous?
Universally famous. I think that in addition to pretty much every country on the planet, three outlying satellites are paying attention to the site now, too.
Oh, you can tell that from Google Analytics, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing they added in Google Space.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they have Google Space. So we are talking about the iPhone, and of course, the big issue is still the iPhone 4's signal issues. And I actually talked to, I know I said I was probably going to get Spencer Webb on one of the, I'm sure he's quickly become very famous for doing a lot of analysis. He works for Antennasys. He's going to be on next week. I actually spoke to him. We're going to have him on. He's working on his big analysis of the iPhone 4's signal issues, so we'll have lots to talk about next week. But
now, I just assumed he listened to one of the shows and said, no, I'm not going to come on.
Yeah, well, that might happen still. Who knows? Consumer Reports has come out and said they don't recommend the iPhone 4 because of the signal issues.
But they love everything else.
Right. Yeah, they love everything else about the iPhone 4. They rated it the highest smartphone of them all, right above the iPhone 3GS and the HTC Evo 4 or 4G. But yeah, so the even though they like it so much, they can't recommend it due to the signal issues. And I think that's really going to get Apple's attention, and they're going to have to do something more significant than just a simple software patch. They're going to have to do some kind. I don't think they're going to do an actual recall. I don't remember Apple ever doing a recall on anything.
They just did.
No, they didn't.
Well,
what they did was what in other markets would have been handled as recall, but they didn't do a recall.
So what are you referring to?
I'm talking about the time capsule.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
The time capsule thing. And you remember when they had the swelling battery issue? They didn't do a recall with that either. It was, here's an alert, and if you bring us in your bad battery, we'll give you a new one.
Yeah, so what
but
I...
Not an official recall.
Yeah, so what I think Apple's probably going to do is they're going to, I think we said this last week, that they're going to have an option for customers who are experiencing the issue and want to get a replacement. They can go into the Apple store and say, hey, you know, I'm having this issue, and then they'll do a swap out, but it won't be a recall.
Wait, so what's the difference between a swap and a recall? Because that's what they're doing with the time capsule right now. It's the same thing they did with the battery. Like you're saying, Jeff, they're
okay,
saying, hey, if you have one of these affected units, bring it in or call us and we will exchange it for you.
Okay, the difference is instead of what you have with a traditional recall, where there's this big notice, everyone gets a letter in the mail or an email or something, and they're told you need to come into our service centers or whatever. What Apple's doing is turning it into that good customer service spin where someone has a problem. They come in, no problem. We'll take care of you. Have a new one. Sorry about your headaches.
Right.
So it's the same thing. It's just putting a different spin on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what they're probably ultimately going to have to do. My big frustration right now, I have two things that I've been kind of telling people as they're asking me about this. And the most recent thing is with this new consumer reports issue, Apple's big problem they have right now is a huge, massive PR fail that's going on. And I'm frankly shocked they didn't come out and say something today. Unless something hit my feed late that I haven't seen yet, Apple has not responded to the consumer reports thing. And the more they let that lag, the more it looks like they're trying to hide something. And then you couple that with all these reports that they're yanking discussion board stuff, which they've done in the past as well.
Yep.
It's bad image, you know, and they're usually pretty good about controlling their image. And if they let this fester and go on like that, then they are really going to have a problem because the media is having a field day with it because they've been looking for anything to cut Apple down with. And now they have something. And they've just glommed onto it, and they're just attack, 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 attack.
You know, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a moment and say Apple staying quiet may actually work in their favor. Because,
okay,
now just follow along with this one. Okay, so you have a situation where people are up in arms, the media is just eating this up like kids with Christmas candy or Easter candy or Hanukkah candy, what the denominational candy of your choice. Sorry, I got sidetracked. Okay, so anyhow, they're doing the whole thing with being quiet about this. People are flipping out. And what I think ultimately will happen is that Apple will have some fix in place, but they'll do it just like they've done with all the other, I'm doing air quotes, recalls, where people come into the store and the Genius Bar goes, oh, yeah, no problem. We have a fix for that. Here, let me do that for you. And we won't even charge you for it. And the person goes, oh, my God, and heads out the door. Look at this. They fixed my iPhone. And yes, there's the whole media thing with people being aware of the issues that are affecting a certain number of people. But when they go into the store and get that free fix, then they'll be happy and ultimately the problem goes away. Now, I will give you a precedent for having a situation that is spiraling out of control. And looks like it needs to be addressed because the media is just having a field day with it. If we look back to the early days of the United States, the media would just pull apart the president of the United States. And it just so happens we had one president that while he was in office, the word came out that he had had an affair with one of his slaves. And how did the president respond? He said nothing. And in the end, that became the best thing he could have done because ultimately the media, which initially was going, look at this big problem. This man had an affair with a slave. And they just kept going with it and going with it. And ultimately, when there were no reactions at all, they moved on to something else where they could get a reaction. Maybe Apple is going for a similar thing here.
Yeah. It just seems to me like they could come out with a simple statement saying, look, we are hearing that there's an issue. We are, and they've done this in the past before. We are looking into it and we'll update you later. But the fact that they made the earlier statement that it's a software thing, I think is confusing consumers. Because we're really talking about two separate issues. The software thing is one issue, and they're going to fix that, and that's going to be addressed. And that's wholly separate from this whole detuning the antenna issue and the amount of loss that's going on there. And that's the second issue that they kind of
have to address. I have a feeling we've gotten all we're going to get out of Apple. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I totally cut you off.
No. That's okay. I would agree. And I think that's actually, I don't know. It, to me, it seems like a bad move based on the emails that I'm getting from my listeners and from what I've been reading online and what you look at in forums. And Apple has to be aware of it because they're, like I said, they're pulling those posts from their own discussion boards. So it seems like they're trying to cover something up, which just makes them look bad. Rather than just getting out there and saying, look, we're hearing you. We know something's going on. We're looking into it. We will, you know, if we find something, we will address it and we will have a, we, I don't have to say a fix, but, you know, they need to just say, look, we're aware of it. We're looking into it and we'll update you.
Yeah, I do agree.
The big problem I'm seeing with Apple pulling posts isn't so much that it's a news thing. Oh my God, there's a problem with the iPhone. Apple is pulling posts. Apple does this all the time. And it's their forums. They can handle them however they want. It's their thing. And we can live with it or we can go somewhere else to air grievances. And that's our choice. The problem that I see with the post being pulled right now is that this is something else that the media is glomming onto. And most people are not reporting that this is just business as usual for Apple because they they control the boards on their forums exactly the way they want. And if they don't like something that's there, it's gone. And that's it.
But so sorry. Go ahead, Michael.
You have to think about, you know, why is Apple pulling that kind of stuff from their boards? Is it because there's no problem? Because there's clearly a problem.
No, it's because they control the message. And giving us a voice takes away that control.
Right.
So, seriously.
That's typical Apple behavior. I mean, they control their... That's why I'm kind of shocked that they're not responding to this at all, because they typically try to control the spin rather than just remain silent about it.
Do you think they're still just completely boggled by the issues and they're just not sure what's going on?
No.
I mean, they're probably not, but... Even if they were, they should put out some kind of statement saying they're working on it.
Oh, they already did.
No, they said that they have figured out that it's a software issue.
Okay,
is that
what
you're
referring
to?
Get out of them. So, we would like Apple to say, okay, here are all the technical details in a beautiful bullet point list with charts and a keynote presentation. We've already gotten everything they're going to give us.
Well, Apple could say that, you know, initially we thought it was, in some cases it's a signal reporting issue, but we found that in other cases that it has to do with something else and, you know, we're working on it, and not go too specific on it. But if it's just something that they're going to quietly roll out as a fix, you know, right now a lot of people, most people know, who are interested at all in cell phones, people have heard about the signal issues at this point, and it's causing a lot of people to, if they haven't already gotten an iPhone 4 and they've been considering it, they're considering not getting an iPhone 4 because of this. And so that's why that Apple needs to come out with something that reassures potential customers and current customers that they're working on something.
Well, here's the other side of the issue. Sorry, I want to comment on something that you said earlier, Jeff, because I think you're right on about the media glomming onto these things, both the antenna issue and the forum post thing, and using that as ammunition, and then not giving the full other side of the story. You know, as you mentioned, they're not going to say that, oh, well, Apple pulls posts all the time. This is an unusual behavior for them. And on the other side of it too, they're only covering what we're seeing now is these antenna studies, right? Consumer Reports did this really closed lab study that is very analytical and showing the dB loss that happens when you do the detuning, which, by the way, was already done by Enantech, and the findings were almost identical. So it pretty much proves that, yes, if you bridge that gap, you're going to detune the antenna and you're going to get about a 20 to a 25 dB loss in your signal. Now, whether that'll drop your call or not is going to be dependent on, from what I understand, how strong your signal is to start with. And that gets back to the software issue that Apple's talking about, where it's not showing exactly the right amount of signal. So when you have a weak signal, you might not know it. When it detunes, it drops the call. But the other side of that story that I'm getting frustrated that's not being told. And I get frustrated by this because I'm having non-Apple, you know, people who don't follow Apple come to me because they know I know this stuff and asking me, should I buy an iPhone? Should I wait? These are just general consumers that are interested in getting an iPhone. And they're hearing from the media and they're saying, oh, I shouldn't buy one because it's got these big antenna problems. But here's the flip side of that story. I have been asking everybody in all kinds of different markets that I can find, and I'm curious to know if you guys have done the same, who have bought the iPhone 4 and have been using it now for several weeks, are you having issues where you're getting more dropped calls or lower quality calls or anything that's worse than any other iPhone or any other phone, for that matter, that you've had? And 99% of the time, the answer I'm getting is, no, my iPhone 4 is fabulous. It's great. And I'm even getting confirmation of what Apple says that, hey, I'm also getting signal in places that I wasn't getting signal before. But I'm not hearing the person who is using the iPhone 4 and has them. There's 1.7 million of them out there. I'm not seeing the cries of those people saying, my phone's not working. This thing sucks. It's analytical data in the media saying there's a problem.
You know,
so
I
is
mean,
there
the
a problem
position-
if it's just Yeah, if it's analytical, is there really a problem? And I think that's the position Apple's taking is like, look, we don't have consumers coming to us saying they're dropping calls any more than they were before. Now, that doesn't mean Apple shouldn't respond and they shouldn't fix this technical issue, but it's not impacting the quality of the device or its function.
Right.
At least from what I can tell.
Now, we'll have to see. I definitely think we'll have to wait and see what happens with this software update because, you know, I keep pointing back to my friend Cameron, who has that video showing how he can just, by touching that spot, he can pause the loading of a web page. And that's incredibly significant, I think. But if his signal strength is low in an area like that, then that would cause it anyway, even though it says 5 bars, if it really is 2 or 1 bars and he touches it there, that makes sense that would happen. Although I looked at the video again and I realized that before he did the bridging of that little spot, he actually took both of his hands and held the phone as tightly as he could and tried to load that page, and it loaded just as fast. And it only had that issue when he touched it there. So I'm thinking that, you know, we may have, for the most part, most iPhone 4s might be unaffected by this detuning issue by, you know, with the lower left-hand corner problem. But it may be that only, you know, a few of them actually have this issue, and it's not as big of an issue. But there's still that confusion that, you know, the press is glomming onto and saying that, you know, all the iPhone 4s have this issue when it doesn't. It seems like we still don't have all the information.
Well, yeah, add to that the fact that there's all kinds of variation. All right, so here's an example. Earlier today, I'd gone out for lunch. I, by chance, ran into my friend Amanda, and she says, oh, my God, I got my iPhone. She's all happy. And then she says, but the signal keeps dropping way down when I hold my phone. I have the antenna problem. So I said, okay, let me see your phone. And I hold it in my hand. And we're standing in an area where she typically uses her phone, and the signal doesn't drop. So I hand her my iPhone, and I said, let's see what happens with my phone in your hand. The signal does not drop. I hand her phone back to her. She holds it in her hand, and the signal does not drop. And she looks at me and goes, what the hell? So yeah, there's no consistency to this. I mean, she's having a very real frustrating problem for her. And then when I'm standing there with her, we cannot replicate the problem on her phone or my phone.
And that what that indicates to me is that we have two separate issues. We have the really radically strange issue that Cameron has, and then we have the issue of standard attenuation with a phone and the fact that Apple is reporting the bars incorrectly.
Well, Michael, I'd be curious, though, too. Can Cameron repeat that on different days at different times at different... Because I've been trying to do the same thing. I keep bringing up speed tests, and I've been playing with mine and detuning it, and sometimes I can get it to behave in the way that I would think is what's being described online, and then other times I'm doing exactly the same thing, and I'm not seeing the impact. So I can bring up the speed tests app, sometimes bridge that gap, and it will immediately start dropping the kilobits per second, like right before my eyes. It's like magic. And then 2 minutes later, I'll do the same exact thing and no impact.
Hmm.
So that kind of confirms the kind of behavior that Jeff's talking about, which that just baffles me. So anything that is, you know, 100%, it has to be 100% repeatable. And I've tried it maybe 40 times since, you know, every time I read one of these articles about this issue, I'm like, come on, this has to be real. And I keep trying to replicate this stuff, and sometimes I can and sometimes I can't. So, you know, it's the same phone. I'm not putting an extra coating on it or anything. You know, I'm not modifying it in any way. So
I'm stumped on it.
Serious to me. And then you have to come back to reality. And that is, yes, he can do that when he's specifically putting his finger on it. But ask him when he's using it throughout the day, is he causing, through normal usage, handling it how he would normally handle it, causing web pages to not load?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, then, well, great. You know, that's like going to the doctor. It's like, my eye hurts when I poke it. Well, don't poke your eye.
Right, right, yeah.
You know?
So it comes down to, if you hold it in a normal fashion, as you know, if you're not on the phone and you're just holding it and you're bringing up a web page or just doing data related issues, will that happen under normal circumstances? And
right.
I'm going to try to get Cameron on, or at least get some comments from him.
I mean, is he taking his phone back? I mean, is it?
Yeah, I haven't talked to him about it since I saw the video, so I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but I'll
so
try
I'm
to
just,
get some.
I'm really anxious, and please, somebody email me if you're having this problem and you totally agree with what I'm saying. I want to hear from you, because the problem is I'm not hearing from any of those people.
Yeah,
you know, I know of one person and that's, I think I mentioned last time, Katie Floyd from Mac Power Users, but she has always had reception problems where she is, and I don't know that I need to talk to her again, but I don't know that her problems are worse now than they were before. So.
I don't know if they are either. I know she ended up with a microcell at least for a little while and was still having problems, which told me, okay, you have a defective iPhone, get a new phone. And I think she did, but I haven't heard anything since then.
Now, what do you guys think about the suspicion that the Apple's known about this signal issue? They knew about it before they announced the iPhone 4, and that that they created the bumper case is a response and, you know, to mitigate that issue.
No,
no,
no.
Okay.
No, they would have put a rubberized coating over the band and then been done with it. And then they wouldn't have these problems. I mean, they would have found a solution before releasing the phone.
You know, the only thing that I would agree with you guys on that, but the only thing that makes me second guess that is the fact that there was a case test by one of the blogs. I'm going to find it in a second, but yeah, the drop test. So iFixYourEye did a video of dropping the iPhone 4 with a bumper on, and after several drops, it was, you know, it's pretty useless in protecting the screen, which, you know, I thought that, okay, Apple's showing, oh, we only need to have this bumper around the stainless steel band because the glass on the front and the back is just so darn sturdy that it's not necessary to provide any extra coverage of that. And, you know, it broke after a couple drops.
All right, so I'm going to toss this out for you. If Apple had enough time to design the bumper case for the iPhone, don't you think they had enough time to address the antenna issue?
Yeah, I do. And it's just, this whole thing is just really confusing.
I don't think Apple expected the antenna-related controversy to become what it is.
Yeah.
And I mean, based on all the tests that they were doing, if they knew that every time someone is going to put a phone in their hand, that they were going to lose a signal, the phone that we have would not have shipped. I mean, if Steve Jobs had been handed a phone that every time he grabbed it to make a call, the signal dropped, he would have looked at his people, thrown the phone at him, and said, "This is bullshit." And yeah. then they would have had to design something else.
You know, I when you put it that way, that makes sense. And I agree. So it seems like we're having sporadic, you know, issues with certain phones, hopefully. And in addition to the signal reporting issue.
I mean, there's no doubt that the detuning effect is real. Okay? I don't think that's deniable.
Oh, that's the problem question. With any cell phone. So you're absolutely right. It just so happens with the iPhone, it looks like it's a more prominent issue than with some other phones.
Well, yeah, I think I think the detuning issue is actually more unique to the iPhone 4 than the attenuation that you'll get with a phone, because the antenna isn't usually exposed on another phone, and usually if there is an exposed antenna, there aren't two exposed antennas that you can cause them to, by way of using your finger as a medium to kind of bridge those two together, cause them to get confused and have the frequencies be incorrect for receiving a proper signal.
Yeah. I don't want to kill this thing.
I think we should move
to
on.
Death.
We'll have Spencer Webb on next week. So
I'm looking forward to talking with
him. I am too. He says he's got this big analysis that he's going to be posting on the blog either tomorrow or the next day. So we'll have lots to talk
about.
Yep.
What's the blog?
Antennasys. So I think it's like blog.antennasys.
Keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. Antennasys.com/antennasys-blog. Or just search for it. But yeah, moving on to did we talk about the App Store rankings deal with it was reported that 400 accounts, iTunes accounts, were somehow compromised and used to purchase as particular developers' book applications to raise those in the rankings. And so Apple actually released a statement regarding that and said that, you know, whoever had this issue, you should change your passwords and contact your bank and, you know, get that resolved. Honestly, I guess it's a non-story because there are so many iTunes accounts. There, you know, I think they said something like 1 point something billion iTunes accounts, and it's just...
Yeah, it's not right, a non-story...
Oh, go ahead, Adam.
There must be some weird delay, Jeff. Sorry, because I was doing this to you all last show. No, you go ahead.
No. I cut you off, and please go ahead, because I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
All I was going to say is it is an issue from the standpoint of, well, one that I'm confused about is that, you know, we have this curated app store, supposedly, and how does... I forget how many apps, ebooks this guy had in there, but you know, it seems like maybe the threshold for approvals on ebooks is like really low. I don't know, but you'd think it would throw up a red flag that, hey, this one developer has 1,500 ebooks, or maybe not, because maybe that's just the nature of ebooks. I don't know. So that seems strange first and foremost to me. But the second part of it is using the hijacked accounts. It's only significant, even though it's only 400, it's a significant reminder to consumers and customers that, you know, you need to be on the lookout for phishing scams, because I think it's probably most obvious that these people were either victims of phishing scams, or it was some sort of brute force attack on really simple passwords. Although a couple people claimed they didn't have simple passwords or easy to guess passwords. But
well, that's subjective.
I said this in my show. I said, and if you did, are you going to admit it to the media? Oh, yeah, I had a really easy-to-guess password.
My password was password. I guess I know better now, and I shouldn't have just one password for everything. Oops. And with that, all the money disappears out of all their bank accounts.
Right.
So either way, the last part of that is, so let's assume that they had a really good brute force hacker, and it wasn't a common word, but they were able to get through, you know, a 16-character password with mixed numbers and letters, which I guess is possible, I guess. The second half of that is then the other bit of advice that most security experts will tell you is change your passwords frequently, right?
So right, and don't have the same password for everything.
Right. So if you had changed your password every couple months or so, chances are if you're on a list, what I had read was that there's just lists in China that people can buy readily of hacked accounts that were garnered through phishing or brute force attacks. And that the theory is that they likely used those lists. Well, those lists are probably, you know, not super current because it takes time to crack those passwords and stuff like that. So if you're changing your passwords, chances are even if you're on that list, your password will be changed before someone tries to exploit it. So
that's excellent advice. And thank you, because you said so many of the things I was going to say, but I feel like you said them in a much more professional and elegant way than I was going to.
Yeah. Get one password.
Yes. Get one password. And then get it for your iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, whatever you have, because it is so fracking cool. You can synchronize all that password and account information between your devices. It's a beautiful thing. Everyone should have that.
I don't know why they don't pay us to say that, because we say it a lot.
Probably because they know they don't have to pay us to say it.
That's
exactly
true.
I'm a convert, I'll sit out here. I will say what. You know, other people don't want to say, I had one of my accounts hacked, and that's why I have one password. And I feel much, much safer now.
Yep. Okay, so moving on. Last week we reported on a strange issue that iPhone 4 and I think iPhone 3GS customers were both experiencing. As we know, with the iPhone 4, the upload speed is, I think, 1.5 megabits per second, something like that. Much improved over the 3GS. And when customers initially got the iPhone 4, they were seeing some really great upload speeds. However, those started slowing down to about 100 kilobits per second. And it was suspected that AT&T might be capping those. And AT&T issued a statement saying that it's actually a software issue. They said that AT&T and Alcatel-Lucent recently identified a software defect triggered under certain conditions that impacted uplink performance for laptop connect and smartphone users using 3G HSUPA capable wireless devices. They're working on a software fix, and they say that they're providing normal 3G uplink speeds and consistent performance for affected customers now while they're working on the fix. But there's no time frame. Have you guys done any speed? Because I think Adam or Jeff or both of you, did you notice this issue on your phone?
I live in one of the areas where we're having the problems. I cannot get an upload speed over. Well, the highest I've been able to get since the problem kicked in was about 6 to 5 kilobits a second.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and I mean it's a very significant performance drop.
Well, yeah, because not only is it just like, oh, I need to upload something to some goofy image to Twitter. I mean, that's how you request a web page. And if that's slow, then the internet is slow.
Yes. Now, for a lot of requests, it's going to be just a little bit of text going out, you know, a few characters. And you're not likely to notice that big of an impact for like web page requests.
Sure.
However, when you need to do anything that involves you sending anything more than just the tiniest bit of text out somewhere else, then it becomes a serious issue. And I'm actually running speedtest.net right now on my iPhone, and I'm consistently getting 64 kilobits a second for my upload speed.
Okay, so it has not been fixed in your area, so it seems like we're waiting for this software fix, and until then it's not resolved for customers in those areas.
That is correct.
Okay, and Adam, have you?
And for people that are keeping track, I live in the Denver metro area. So if you're somewhere else and you're seeing, and you were affected, but you're seeing the higher speeds, that means that the software fix rolled out for you, but hasn't rolled out for us yet.
Do we know if there is a software fix yet? Or
it's it, as far, well, the last I heard, they're working on it, but they haven't done anything yet. My guess is that they're going to, once they get the software fix, they're going to do some serious testing and then roll it out, because they don't want to have another iPhone antenna issue to have to deal with like Apple is dealing with right now.
Right. Yeah. So I'm doing a speed test on my phone, and so download speed, I'm getting about, it was almost up to 2 megabits per second. But for upload, I don't think I was affected by the issue when we talked about
it. Chicago isn't in the area.
Well, it seems it might be now, because I got 76 kilobits per second both times.
Oh, whoops.
No, I got 53 the first time and then 76 the second time. So I'm getting a good download speed, so I'm guessing I have a good connection to the tower. Adam, are you having the same issues?
Not yet, but now you're making me hopeful.
You're looking forward to it?
Poor Adam, he's all left out.
Yeah, I was actually using my phone in Evanston at a friend's house last week. I was actually doing some work using my phone tethered to my laptop, and I uploaded something, and it didn't seem like I had any issues. It seemed like it was uploading at a fairly normal speed, but oh man, these results are atrocious now.
It's going to be a huge problem if you have iMovie for the iPhone.
Yeah.
You'd be taking days to but no, I'm actually having I thought we had mentioned this last time, but I'm actually having an opposite stranger problem.
You're getting all the internet? You're getting all the bandwidth?
No. I'm getting download speeds of about 500 kilobits per second and upload speeds of about 1,000 kilobits per second.
Mm.
So I actually have faster upload than download right now.
You don't hear that very often.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. And it's been that way ever since I got the iPhone 4. Sometimes I'll get up to 2 kilobits down. That's about the fastest I've seen. But generally, I'm getting about 1,000 kilobits down, 1,000 kilobits up. So it's almost like I have an ADSL connection now, if anybody remembers what those were.
Ah, the good old days.
Is it ADSL? That was the...
ADSL was slower, because that's the one where they could branch out farther from the substations.
No, so I'm thinking of whichever one... They had a version of DSL that was the same speed both directions. That's pretty much what I'm getting.
Yeah, it looks like I'm in the affected area. I don't know. I haven't heard from any other folks in the... I'm right now in Rockford, so I haven't tested it in Chicago, but it seems like I got 118 kilobits per second up, but yeah, so who knows? Anyway, AT&T did say that they're working on a fix, so at least we have that to look forward to. There is a photos of the white iPhone 4 and box have surfaced. MIC Gadget actually
got them in a bar.
No, they didn't say where they got them,
in Taiwan or something again.
Yeah, something like that. But it does look
Vietnam, probably Vietnam, right?
Yeah.
And on a side note, is it true that people are leaving kins in bars and no one will pick them up?
We just want to get rid of them. Yeah, so it looks like a Japanese source got a hold of a full retail package of the white iPhone 4. The front of the box is the exact same photo, except it's a white iPhone 4. They took some photos of the iPhone 4 that was in the retail box. And I must say that every time I look at a photo of like a real photo, not one of the strange photos that Apple has on their website that are all high resolution and unrealistic, every time I look at it, it's growing on me, and I really want one now. It feels to me, it looks like one of the, it has like an original iPod feel to it. But it still has that weird, it still has that weird mesh, sensor deal that just throws it off. But you say you don't like it, Jeff?
No, I just, the whole white iPhone thing has never really worked for me.
Yeah, I have to say, at first when I saw it, the white front was just weird to me, but I'm digging it now.
Yeah, I'd say what you could do is find someone that really wants a black iPhone, and then they buy a white one, and you swap with them, except that your iPhones typically have toilet water on them, so people shouldn't trade iPhones with Michael.
No, my iPhone is free of toilet water.
For now.
Well, that's the first time that's ever happened. I dropped my phone in the toilet. In case you didn't catch on to that, but yeah,
was it the shirt pocket thing?
No, I it was on the ledge of the sink and knocked it in there. It was clean toilet water.
I lost a cell phone that way.
Mm.
The shirt pocket method. You know, you put it in your front shirt pocket and your
right.
Yep. Be careful around toilets with your iPhone, kids. but anyway, moving on. Do you guys see that YouTube has actually updated their mobile site for the iPhone and various other phones? It's much nicer. I haven't looked at it recently because I'm used to just using the iPhone application. I'm still not sure why I would want to use the website, other than there might be some features that you're not seeing in the YouTube app, such as, you know. I'm not sure. I think they're all in there, but
are all the videos in the YouTube app now? Yeah, that was going to be my question.
Well, I think that every video you will have access to through the site on your phone are going to be the same videos that you'll see in the application. I don't think it's a matter of the app versus the site. I think it's just a matter of if the video distributors are going to allow a plain H.264 video file to be playable or not. So if you look at some, like, music video, for example, a lot of music videos are unavailable on Apple TV and iPhone and iPad just because they don't allow something that's unencrypted, I suppose. But yeah, it's cool. Check it out. Go to youtube.com on your iPhone, and it's nice. Not sure if you want to. You can check it out and see if you want to use it in lieu of the app. But there it is. There are a lot of rumors about the next generation iPod Touch finally coming out. We're probably going to see that in September, as we usually do. As you guys remember, last year we were expecting to see an iPod Touch with a camera on the back, and there were actually prototypes.
No, you were expecting to see an iPod Touch with a camera on the back.
Well, I was expecting to see an iPhone 4 with a camera on the front.
Okay, there is that. However, I was right about the iPod Touch.
Yeah, you were right about the iPod Touch, although it does seem that Apple had prototypes of an iPod Touch with a camera on the back. So new rumors are indicating that not only will we see a camera on the back, probably not a 5-megapixel though, but we'll also see FaceTime on iPod Touch. So I believe some UK retailer called John Lewis, I'm not familiar with that, but they say that the next iPod Touch will have, they said, a 5-megapixel camera with HD video recording, FaceTime, and more. However,
now, keep in mind that the information that they're presenting, they got from people that that they considered to be good sources. So they have no official information. They just have people saying, this is what we've heard is going to come on the next iPhone or iPod Touch.
Right.
So that's an important thing to remember.
Yeah, but according to 9to5Mac, several merchants on Alibaba.com are claiming that they have parts for the next generation iPod Touch, which have little spots for FaceTime cameras.
All right, you know, I'll grant you a front-facing FaceTime camera on an iPod Touch, mm-hmm. but I'm not seeing a higher resolution back-facing camera.
Well, what seems to make sense is having not a high-res camera on the back, but possibly a 3GS-style camera on the back, just simply because of size constraints of an iPod Touch. And I think that if Apple were to produce an iPod Touch with a front-facing camera, many consumers would just throw out big WTFs if there was no camera on the back. So I think it's, if there's going to be one on the front, there's going to be one on the back.
Maybe. I mean, there could be. It would be cool if there was.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not seeing that happen. However, I will freely admit that I said there would not be video chat or a front-facing camera on the new iPhone. And it turns out there's both. So it's totally possible, of course. But I'm just not seeing the higher resolution camera on the back. But doing something that incorporates FaceTime, which I'm assuming would link into people's Mobile Me accounts, because you need to have some way to link up for the actual chat part.
Yeah, that's true. How the heck are they going to do that?
Yeah, which is a good question. Now, from the tests that I've done, you can initiate a FaceTime call for the first time without having a 3G connection.
Yeah, I heard that. You can actually, how does that work? You go to the, well, you tell me how it works.
Okay, so what I did in the test that I tried was to go into airplane mode on my iPhone and then have the other person do the same thing and then turn Wi-Fi back on. So all of the cell radios are shut off on both of our devices. And then one or the other of us initiated a first-time FaceTime call with the other person, and it worked just fine.
Now, how
and
do you worked. Do that?
So, all right. So what you do is you go and pick the person out of your address book that you want to call, and then scroll down to the bottom of the contact, and there's a call with FaceTime button. When you tap that, if they have multiple numbers, it lets you choose the phone number that you want to call out to, select that, and then it initiates a FaceTime call. And it works if you're on the same network and if you're on different networks.
Now, how does it contact one phone without it being on a cellular network? How does it do that? Or is it magic?
Well, it's clearly magic. Apple must have some sort of database link-up thing that's matching FaceTime data with, right now, I would assume, cell numbers.
Yeah.
And so they're able to initiate the call that way. Now, if they can do that, then it's at least, from my perspective, a relatively small step to then add in, say, your Mobile Me account information to allow someone to contact you that way for a FaceTime call.
Yeah, or maybe they're just expecting that third-party developers like Fring and Skype will allow that on the iPod Touch. Now, the interesting thing that really points to iPod Touches with front-facing cameras on there is when Steve Jobs was talking about FaceTime, when he was introducing the iPhone 4, he said that we would see tens of millions of FaceTime devices in 2010, which definitely lends the possibility that we'll see the iPod Touch with that.
Sure. And they may be planning on rolling out a FaceTime client for the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And considering that they're making the FaceTime protocol open, that means other companies can add it into their cell phones as well.
Yep. Now, did you guys see that I mentioned Fring actually rolled out the capability to make a FaceTime call? So within the app, you can Fring is a VoIP application, if you're not familiar with it, and they actually added the ability to use the front-facing camera on the iPhone 4, so you can do a FaceTime call using Fring. However,
now, was it really FaceTime, or were they just doing their own video call thing? I don't remember.
I do not know. So I'm guessing that Apple has a FaceTime API. Is that correct? So you'll get the same screen and interface with all the same buttons and all that when you do a proper FaceTime call. Is that correct?
That would make sense.
Okay.
I don't know, though.
Yeah, not sure. But
there's
from
probably
what
some developer out there listening right now going, oh, just stop talking. Oh, and look, we just did.
Wow.
So you're welcome.
Yeah. Okay. So, but it looks like from the screenshot, the in the Fring application, it doesn't look like it uses the same FaceTime interface. So it might just be using the front-facing camera. However, they Skype pulled support for Fring. So within Fring, you could add your Skype account. However, it seems that Skype has decided to pull that ability from Fring after Fring added the FaceTime or video calling feature to their application.
I'm going to assume that means it's not really FaceTime then, and that they were hacking into some of the Skype protocols.
Well, it didn't work. It wasn't just Skype that was able to do it. It was various account types within Fring.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just the Skype video stuff that was being killed.
Yeah, Skype has offered an official response claiming that Fring's use of Skype compatibility, especially Friday's withdrawal of Skype support from network issues with no warning, they're demanding that the Skype brand... I'm sorry, I got thrown off. I think somebody just walked in. But yeah, where were we? Talking about Skype.
Yep.
Yeah, so basically, well, anyway, we're back. The Skype has essentially said that they're not appreciating that the fact that they're adding that in there, and they see that as a competition for their own application.
where's the video chat for Skype then? Okay.
Right, exactly.
Oh my God. Where have we heard a company say, we don't want you to do this with your app because that would be competition?
Yeah, I wonder.
Huh. How about that?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, anything else to say on that? Or
it's just... No, other than I downloaded the Fring app when I saw this and then couldn't do the video stuff, so I was immediately irked.
Now, will the video stuff work in any application, any protocol besides Skype? Or
I guess you can do Fring to Fring.
Okay,
but I don't know anybody on Fring, so
right. Can you do AIM? Because you can have AIM in Fring, right?
Yeah, no, it's only Fring to Fring or Fring to Skype.
So just the VoIP protocols.
Yes, sir. Do you realize just how stupid the words are that we have to say to talk about all these different things?
Fring, VoIP, Skype, SIP, AIM.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, that's all.
The best news about this is, I read a report and it might end up proving that people will move quicker to adopt the FaceTime stuff, right?
Yeah.
So Skype might have done Apple a favor.
Right, right. So it's just like everybody's just like, well, let's use the FaceTime protocol and then we'll work with all those iPhone 4s that are out there. Well, the bigger question is how long is it going to take Apple to build it into iChat?
Yeah, I wonder if Apple is planning to build it into iChat, because I think that...
They have to. Why wouldn't you? If they don't do it, that's just dumb.
I can't imagine that they would want to run it as a separate application on the Mac. When you already have all of this information in iChat, and they've already been promoting it as a video chat tool... Why not just roll in the FaceTime with it? That totally makes sense.
You know, I think that the only thing that would counteract that argument is the fact that Apple really sees FaceTime as a portable version of the video chat. So it,
well,
the fact
see,
that it changes.
My notebook is pretty damn portable.
Well, yeah, but people don't want to. You don't want to carry your laptop around and, you know, taking pictures of your kid's first step and pointing the laptop at your kid. Now, however,
that's what they're doing with iChat already.
I know, but they want people to actually use the FaceTime devices to do that instead, which is, you know, because it's more convenient. But that does not necessarily mean that people. It, with the ability to do FaceTime on a computer, it doesn't mean that they're not going to get an iPhone 4 or use it on an iPhone 4 simply because you still have to point your laptop at somebody. So having a person on an iPhone 4 doing something, and then maybe your grandparents on the other end are watching something from an iPhone 4, then that makes sense.
But you hit the nail on the head where the problem is it's the receiving end of things. So it's great. I have an iPhone 4. There's 10 million other people who don't have an iPhone 4 that I want to show something. So I'm out somewhere. If I cannot call who I want to call, or if it's too inconvenient, I can't tell my friends, oh, well, crud, go out and buy an iPhone 4 or a $300 iPod Touch so I can video chat you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Apple's best chance for success with FaceTime, and I think Steve Jobs hinted at it, is they're going to put it on every frickin' device and platform that they can possibly get it on, because then that's when it'll be used. So it's great technology, and they've proven that with the iPhone 4 to iPhone 4 thing. It might be a slow rollout, but I think for sure, you know, we're going to see it in the next gen iPod Touch, probably even before, like we were saying, before a rear-facing camera. You know, as Jeff said, we'll concede that one to you. I think it's very likely the iPod Touch is a front-facing camera before a rear-facing one, and that's really going to tick people off for a couple reasons, you know, the sensor being smaller and being able to fit it in there and everything else, but then also on the desktop. So I think we're going to see it in iChat, and I think we're going to see it in the iPod Touches very soon. Just my guess.
Yeah, that does make sense. I think that makes the most sense for FaceTime because, yeah, it's fantastic that you can do you know, portable video chat, but having a receiving option.
You can't call anybody, it's pointless.
Exactly. You have to have everybody on iPhone 4s.
And, of course, that's exactly what Apple would like.
That's true.
But having FaceTime available other places helps promote iPhone 4 sales. However, I'm with Adam. We're going to see this in other places soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. Okay. So with that, I will say that you can get a hold of us by calling us or sending us an email. But if you have an audio comment, a question, or some feedback for us, you can call us at 202-642-6667. We don't have any audio calls this week, but we do have our iPhone picks.
I have to ask, we didn't get anyone commenting on my Monty Python reference last week.
What my Monty Python reference?
Well, I could tell it was lost on you because when I said it, you stopped for a second and then just carried on.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, assuming that I was just babbling nonsense.
Dude, just like crazy Jeff.
Just crazy Jeff. We'll humor him and continue on. Yeah, I made a Spanish Inquisition joke, and I thought someone would pick that one up.
I'm sorry, I was going to ask, and I hate to make an edit point for you again, but sponsors this week?
No sponsors this week.
Okay.
We don't have to edit that. We have a sponsor next week, but I can't talk about that because that's next week.
All right, cool.
But yeah, we have our iPhone picks. Adam, would you like to go first?
Sure, but I need to know. I can't tell if we've done this one or not, and the new We Have Communicators site doesn't have that nifty search feature that the old site had, at least not yet. I'm assuming it's coming, I hope.
I think there's a search in there. I probably haven't turned it on, but you can always use Google for that.
Did anybody pick Pinball HD yet?
I don't think so.
Ha ha ha. Pinball HD for the iPad. It has, I mean, it's pretty simple. I probably don't have to go into too much detail, but it is pinball for your iPad. Turns your iPad into a virtual pinball machine, and it comes with like three different layouts. And I don't know, it's just a lot of fun. I don't know if there's anything that puts it over the top. One feature I haven't been able to try yet is it does support 3D. Stereoscopic images with if you have glasses, you can do like the red and the blue thing. I don't have a pair of glasses, so I haven't been able to test that out yet to see if it's any good. It also kind of has a cool tilt feature, so it does that tilted 3D perspective. So as you tilt the iPad up or down, you can change the tilt angle of the pinball machine table, so you can look at it at different angles. I typically play with that turned off, but I'm trying to figure out the price. I didn't write it down here.
$299.
Yeah, $299. So it's a great little pinball machine for your iPad. And it looks great with the big screen. And you, literally, you just tap the sides of the screen to flip the flippers. It's pretty straightforward. Nothing really fancy, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, I didn't realize that apps were doing that 3D perspective thing. Someone was telling me that they were playing with Labyrinth, and that does that, right? Does Labyrinth HD have the perspective changing thing? I think that's what they were talking about.
Probably. Yes, I don't have that one.
Yeah, I didn't realize people were doing it. And then this 3D stuff, I didn't. It's interesting. I know that is it the Solar Walk? Is that what that's called? Solar Walk and actually,
yeah, Solar Walk has the 3D.
Has the 3D thing. It's interesting that we're seeing 3D happen on the iPad. Is it that it's just so easy to do? Why not? I guess.
Yeah. Well, the screen's
3D
big
is
enough.
A fad.
That it's yeah, why. It's a fad, but the screen's big enough that you can actually put something 3D on it and see it in 3D.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to go out and get some 3D glasses now.
I have a pair sitting on my desk all the time, and I'm not kidding.
Just
the red,
case.
The red and the blue ones or the polarized,
Well, actually, I have both. But
he's prepared. So
I have the red and the blue 3D sitting within arm's reach right now. My polarized ones are on my bookshelf off to the side. But the problem is with polarized ones, there's no standardization for polarized lenses. So it's all dependent on the whole setup for the movie, which type of polarized lenses you need. So I actually have two pairs of polarized glasses for two different types of theater setups. I should really get out more often, huh?
Now you're just prepared.
Okay, thank you. I'm just prepared.
Yeah. Do you have a pick for us? Speaking of prepared.
Oh, sure. I want to do a game this week because, I feel like doing something fun. Which is not to say other things that I pick have not been fun. But have we done Boggle yet?
I don't think so.
Okay, then that's my pick. It's from Electronic Arts, and it's the old word game Boggle, where you shake up the word or all the letters on they're like on dice, and then they land in a little tray, and then you have a set amount of time where you have to just follow letters through the grid to spell as many words as you possibly can. And that's it. That's what Boggle is. And the more words you spell, the more points you get. And it's a really good representation of what the original game was, and it plays great on the iPad. I haven't tried it on my iPhone yet, so I'm not sure how it works there or if it even does. But it's just a fun game, and to mix up the dice, you shake your iPad and you hear the dice bounce around, then they land in the grid and away you go.
Awesome. So you're picking Boggle for iPad because it looks like there are two different versions. So if you don't have an iPad, you can get Boggle on your iPhone too.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, maybe I'll have to go check that out too.
Yeah, I think so. It's $4.99 for the iPad version, and it looks like it's $1.99 for the iPhone version. So, yeah, cool. I haven't actually played Boggle, so I have to check that out. I've never played Boggle.
Oh, you should play Boggle.
I should.
It's really neat. It really helps you work on vocabulary if you don't know a lot of words.
Lordy knows I need some vocab help.
Then you best be buying Boggle right away.
Yeah. All right. So my pick is Sketches 2, and I'm really surprised that I haven't picked this application yet at all. But specifically, it's Sketches 2 for the iPad, and it's just... Oh, it's one of my favorite iPad apps. It's the one that I actually use for doing any sort of iPad drawing or sketching or anything like that, because it's just the interface is just really great for me. So at the bottom, you have a row of several different icons. And so, for example, you have the brush icon. You tap on that and you can choose from various color swatches, or you can actually bring up a color wheel and choose a custom color if you want. And then the interface just broke. That's great. Good job, Sketches, while I'm doing while I'm talking about it.
That's but you can awesome. Also
you can choose the opacity, you can choose the brush type, so you can have just a plain solid brush. You can also have brush style brushes. Yeah, great. I can't get it to change. I can't get out of the color wheel. Oh, there
Maybe
we go.
He doesn't like the colors you're picking.
No, I got it. I had to actually pick a color. There we go. So you can choose the brush size. You can choose the brush type. So you get something that's a little bit smoothed out toward the edges. You can get something that looks more like, in MS Paint, you could do the spray paint style thing. You can bring up an eraser. You can change the opacity. You can bring up...
Wait, did you just say MS Paint?
Yeah.
Like Microsoft Paint?
Yes.
What's wrong with you?
MS Paint is awesome. Is and always will be. It will,
Michael,
it will be an awesome
you
thing.
You so need to stop sniffing glue.
I know, that's what I've been told. But anyway, yeah, you can bring up shapes if you want. So simple lines, squares, ovals, arrows, filled squares, filled ovals. They actually have a whole bunch of custom shapes. You can throw up, a dog bone or some googly eyes or a big big pair of lips or sunglasses, so you can make some faces. You can pull out a post-it note. You can make, they have some like sports. They have basketballs and soccer balls and tennis balls and footballs, and you can get a bunch of these. Looks like they drew these and added these in, so you can bring up a goofy iMac or an iPod or something like that. Various shapes. You can also do text. And there's a mosquito flying by me, so I'm trying to swat that as I talk. So you can type on there. You can change the background, so you can pull up just a basic color for your background, or you can pull up something really nice and textured or wood or... like lined paper, like a notepad, or you can turn your iPad and have the app crash on you. I've honestly,
I want to download it 3 times now.
You might have to. Blueprints, and you can. One of the really cool things is you can actually just say, "Hey, give me a map of where I am," and then you can draw over the map, so you can kind of put an arrow on there. It's really great for so many different things. So you can use it as a little sketchbook, but you can also use it for really useful things such as, drawing over a map or some other photo. You can pull in photos from your camera roll if you want to. So you can draw on top of that. And so like if I take a picture of Jeff, I can like draw a mustache on him. And it actually comes with a mustache built in. So you don't even have to draw it. And there's a bunch of undos. You can send it to Twitter. That's built in. There's also a built-in web service. If you want to pull it off your iPad over the local network, you can do that. You can mail it. You can save it to your photo album. And you can have as many of these sketches as you want. It has a really nice kind of a cork board with all the sketches pinned up there. It's a nice little application. And I honestly don't have this many issues with it. I really like the application. So I think it's just the demo gods were interfering here, but it's working now. So trust me on this. It's a good app. $4.99 Sketches 2 for the iPad. It's actually a universal app. So if you already have Sketches 2 for your iPhone, works on the iPad. So yeah, there you go. You can find all of our iPhone picks as well as the show notes at whcpodcast.com or wehavecommunicators.com, whichever you prefer. One has less characters than the other. I will let you figure out which one. And
if you play Boggle, you'd know.
Yeah, I really need to play Boggle. You can send feedback. So if you don't want to call in, you can record some audio on your iPhone or iPod Touch or however you want to do that and send it in using the feedback email address, which is feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. And if you don't want to send an audio comment, of course, you can just type something out. Let us know. And we'll get that there. feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. And Adam Christensen can be found at the Maccast, maccast.com. twitter.com/MattCast. And of course, he has the wonderful premium show at member.mattcast.com. Thank you so much for being here, Adam.
Hey, thank you. It's a lot of fun again.
And Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, the universally famous Mac Observer, MacObserver.com. And twitter.com/JGamet is his personal Twitter site. You can find his wonderful drawings at cafepress.com/JGamet, as well as zazzle.com/JGamet. There are shirts and prints, right? Or just shirts?
Yeah, you can. There's shirts, there's hats, mugs. I think there's a clock now.
Can we get a picture of just you on a mug? If we're big Jeff Gamet fans, can we get a picture of Jeff Gamet on a mug?
You know, I've done a couple Jeff Gamet self-portraits along the way, and I could convert one so that it could go up on the site.
Yeah, and then
Enough people want that, sure, I'll be more than happy to make a Jeff Gamet mug.
Yeah, if you want a Jeff Gamet mug, send him an at replytwitter.com/jgamet. How about that?
That totally works. And I've gotten a little bit of feedback that people want girl panties with the cat face on them. So I have to do some creative juggling with how I have stuff set up on the site, because right now I have the chicken with glasses on the girl panties, which I thought was really funny.
I didn't realize you were butt,
chicken butt.
I didn't realize you were selling girl panties.
Yeah, and you know, I was going to ask people, hey, send me photos of you wearing my clothes. But then I thought, you know, maybe some people wouldn't feel comfortable.
No, that is a good
sending
decision.
Sending pictures in their underpants, and so I didn't ask.
I think we should see how many people we can get taking pictures of themselves in their underwear. We should just throw caution to the wind and ask for it.
Gonna need a few drinks before I start going through those emails.
Yeah, send it to Jeff, and he'll sort through it and send me all the best ones, right, Jeff?
You owe me a lot of booze.
No problem.
Oh, and you know those chocolate chip cookies you make?
Mm-hmm.
I'm expecting some of those now too.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So, yeah. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm actually doing a new thing. You might have seen this if you already follow me, Lil Reviews. I decided at some point I do like to do reviews, but I just don't like to type all that much. So 140 characters is a good limit for me. And I review just like everything. So the other day I talked about some, you know, that you can get really cheap quinoa that's pre-rinsed at Whole Foods. Or, I don't know, I'll review an iPad case or something else. iPhone
apps. The Whole
Foods
quinoa is really good. I will back you up on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's cheap. Surprisingly, for Whole Foods, it's actually cheap.
Well, the trick is buy it in bulk. If you buy it in the package,
right,
the boxes and stuff, it costs way too much money. Go to the bulk section. That's where to get your quinoa.
Also, pro tip, definitely rinse it or make sure that it's rinsed. The Whole Foods quinoa is rinsed.
I'm laughing because I know, I'm gleaning from your statement why you're offering that pro tip.
Yeah, you'll have some intestinal difficulties. We'll just put it that way. I've also reviewed some really awesome dance music. There was a good mix on BBC's Radio 1 Essential Mix. So I put a link up there to that. So if you want to get some good recommendations for stuff and recommendations of stuff to watch out for, I also reviewed an awesome coffee maker that I have. I just, you know, whatever I can find, stuff that's good. Good stuff. You can follow twitter.com/lilreviews, L-I-L reviews. So yeah, check that out. And that's it. We'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An iPod. A phone.
I hope it's cute girls that send underpants pictures and not fat guys.
Oh, God. I didn't even think about fat guys. That's probably who you're going to get. You're going to get a lot of fat guys in their underwear. In Hello Kitty underwear.
Fuck. Yeah, you owe me a lot of booze.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck. No. to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, yuck. Yuck, yuck, no.